Thank you. Joan told you a little bit about my life, but every life is manifold and full of all kinds of experiences. And almost everything I write comes direct from life. And so one of the first things I had written, although I had been the poetry editor of my high school magazine and the poetry editor of the literary magazine of my college, I hadn't written a poem in over 40 years. I read very few, and the few I read were just totally incomprehensible to me. I had no idea what had happened to poetry in all those years. But suddenly, life happened and kept happening, and I started writing poetry. And the first poem I wrote in 40 years is a poem that came after I had been newly single a little bit too long. And it's dated April 22nd, 1993. Mid-April, gray, magnolia buds outside the bedroom window, thin-veined, tentative, prick of frost, and they shrivel into brown cones, then fall. It almost always happens. Will one never not be all alone? This year, the magnolias blossom, cumulus, billowing, white to pink to fuchsia to plum. Red Joy rides down the street. He had a little red vestiba. Okay. And then one of the other poems that I wrote from a life experience is titled Last Flight from LaGuardia to Pittsburgh International, February 26, 2001, I had been with my son and daughter-in-law in New York. She had just received a call from the fertilologist that this baby they were trying to get for like 6 years was hanging in there, was genetically competent, and was a little girl. And we were, oh, like that. I'm shaking now, and I tell you, it was so great. So anyway, so then after I told them what they should name it, and they told me to keep my opinions to myself, I got in a cab, and I got to LaGuardia, and this is on the flight home. This came to me. It visited me. Obsidian night, visibility infinite, mind diamond cut acute, 30,000 feet below, a lush black landscape of sparkling cities linked by lights. This is how the little girl, 6 months away, will be linked in life in a bright and shining reticulum of love. Okay, and thank you. Thank you. And then life keeps moving on. And this one is called Joined at the Hip. Come on, for crying out loud. I haven't treated you so badly. I eat only white meat, lots of fish, fruits and nuts, grains, greens and beans, low fat, low salt, everything else. Maybe the occasional pastry, the once in a while Dago Red. I haven't smoked for 50 years. Okay, I haven't joined a health club, but I park as far away as possible from Whole Foods, libraries, Goodwill. Sometimes I walk the 6/10 of a mile to the movies. I run up and down the stairs at home. I bundle up in winter, use sunscreen in summer, take Silver Age vitamins, get routine flu shots, mammograms, pap smears. I do my part, goddammit. So what's with this pringling in the fingers and toes, this creaking in the neck, this belching and farting, these explosive liquid stools, this systolic shooting through the top of my skull, this shortness of breath, this atrial fib, these intermittent fevers, these idiopathic paresthesias? Listen, kiddo, I'm not ready to give up yet, so can't you please try a little harder? We've been together so long. Can't we still listen just a little longer for the singing of the stars, for the sometimes chimes at midnight? Okay. And let's see. Okay, this is something else about the later decades of life when you try to do all the healthy things. I did try yoga, and this is called Savasana in the 75th year. Half awake, weightless, I dream myself into perfect postures, twist, fish, warrior, lotus, cobra, locust, strong, open, torso exposing goddess, divinely symmetrical, masterpieces in motion of breathing, concentration, grace. Slowly I roll to rise, sit, ouch, ow, holy mother. Fierce ache along the left iliac crest, deep pain in the gluteus, knees crack when I stand, spasm between the sit bones. For relief, I bend over just enough to bear my weight. After a few deep breaths, now fully awake and aware, I pat my fat little apple-shaped belly and laugh like the Buddha as I limp down the stairs. Okay. And if there, I'm going to read one more, which is very audience pleasing, I hope. And then the other is a little longer and it's far more serious, okay? If this time, you're keeping time, okay. And death shall have no dominion. Today I was full of moxie, loaded for bear, spitting piss and vinegar. Were my planets maybe finally in harmonic convergence? Had the young person inside me maybe stopped whining, what the hell happened? Had the antiprostaglandins maybe finally defeated the albigensians on the ancient battlefield of my body? Who knows? Who cares? Smashing passion filled our afternoon. Is there time? Okay. So this is more serious and longer. This is called arancini. Arancini are saffron rice spheres the size of tennis balls, and sometimes they're filled with meats or fish or chicken. They're deep fat fried, and it's a Sicilian dish. You've heard of it?
My family makes.
Okay. Who's had an arancini? All right, allora. Okay. In our very newest suburban supermarket, vast, teeming with Saturday shoppers, purveyor of fine ingredients for international cuisines, as well as contemporary American trends, pig's feet and eels to organic and vegan, to hydroponic lettuce under yards of fluorescent light, I find arancini, golden arancini, encountered only once before, years and years before, on a trip to Sicily, a cold, moonless night, on the little tin tub ferry from Villa San Giovanni to Messina. As we slipped away from land, a whistle blew, and everyone on deck raced as if for their lives in one direction. Were they avoiding the monsters, the whirlpool? No, they were racing to a small food stand, the only one on board, serving arancini, the only choice, with aranciata to wash it down. It was during the winter holiday. We had roamed the eastern coast of Italy from the Alps to the toe of the boot, the five of us in a Fiat 540 in search of ancestral relatives. Rain in Rome, where the Pope, being carried out on his seggia after midnight mass, waved to our youngest in her scarlet princess coat with one of the brass buttons missing, lost forever on the autostrada. Snow in Calabria as we negotiated craggy mountain roads, and no one could understand my halting, heavily accented Italian. Sun, finally in Syracuse, where our eldest recited parts of the Iliad from the stage as the rest of us sat in the amphitheater built by Alcibiades. And we found the relatives. Cousins, second cousins, third cousins, cousins who knows how many times removed, in bright new tiled apartments that echoed like caves, in smaller apartments with cracked plaster and holy pictures, in farmhouses surrounded by giardini, in tiny cottages, earth-floored, braziers filled with red-hot charcoal for heat. and they fed us and fed us and fed us. Baccalà, merluzzo, coniglio, carciofi, finocchio, scacciata, pasta con sarde, con tonno, con pomidoro, con almost anything at hand. La verdura, la frutta, golden tarocchi right from the tree, cut open, prismatic, rays of the sun refracted in the fruit itself. We bought tinkling Paladini puppets in the marketplace in Floridia. You wore a black beret, tilted, just like my father. Everyone said I looked like your mother. We knew incontrovertibly who we were, never questioned our roles or the rules, knew we belonged together. Decisions flowed seamlessly out of circumstance. We managed the Straits of Messina twice without once having to plot like Ulysses or plead with the gods like Jason. A golden time. There was a golden time. Thank you. Wow.